everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Around from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell on demand on the iHeart app. It's the podcast version. You could hear what you missed. We are going to go right to Alex Stone from ABC News here. It's just amazing. Over 10,000 illegal aliens a day are coming over the border, and the Border Patrol is overwhelmed. I mean, everything's overwhelmed. The detention camps, the Biden administration flat out refuses to do anything about it. The Congress is trying to issue some kind of relief, but they're busy fighting, and I think now they're going to be recessing for Christmas, so this is going to go on and on. Over 10,000 a day. We got Alex here to talk about it. What's the latest?
Hey there, John. Yeah, it doesn't look like Congress is going to be able to do anything, but the border is overflowing right now, and this has been growing for the last number of weeks, but the migrants have just kept coming, and seems that the smugglers are purposely bringing them to remote ports of entry where they can easily become overwhelmed. Today it is Eagle Pass, Texas. In recent weeks, it's been in Lukeville, Arizona, where that port of entry has been shut down because they are and have been so overwhelmed. Now, freight traffic on trains along the border region around Eagle Pass, they can't get trains through there. They can't deal with the immigration requirements, customs requirements of bringing freight in from Mexico. So they're just completely overwhelmed. And so many are arriving to claim asylum that they're now waiting in these makeshift camps on the U.S. side where they have not officially turned themselves in to border agents, but the border agents are so overwhelmed that they're saying, you just stay there before you claim asylum and we'll get to you. They're now out in the elements in pretty cold weather wearing emergency, the tinfoil type blankets, waiting to make their asylum claim. Martin Whelan is a Border Patrol agent in the Yuma sector. He's telling us,
we're facing severe challenges right now.
Now, like so many surges, it's not really clear why right now, despite, you know, both sides have their claims of what it is, but there has not been a big law change or policy change in the last couple of weeks, what? Other than that the Rio Grande is low right now and it's easy to cross. So that may come into play. But this is Fidel Baca, an agent in El Paso. He says they don't know. They have a lot of theories what's going on the Mexico side, but they don't know.
There's a lot of misinformation going on the Mexican side, whether it be misinformation due to misunderstanding or purposely distributed false information. We don't know.
Yeah, but that information going out from the cartels and the smuggling groups. But, John, the agents, they say they're overwhelmed. They cannot keep up with the influx right now. Today, we saw Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez. He was on the border in front of these camps that have been set up where they're kind of in no man's land on the U.S. side, but waiting to turn themselves in. He is saying, look, the federal government, the Biden administration, needs to send an influx of immigration judges to the border to get these asylum claims going, because the local communities along the border are being ravaged by this. The hospitals are full. People are getting sick out there in the, you know, living in essentially the desert, waiting to be heard. The congressman today saying this.
Here in Eagle Pass, there's over 10,000 people in detention. That is a historic number. Yesterday, there was over 4,000 that came over. Once again, another astronomical number.
So Eagle Pass yesterday, it was 4,400, the number that we now have, and that's a record for one sector of the Border Patrol. We know that overall along the border was 10,500 yesterday, 11,000 on Monday. And those are just the numbers who are apprehended. All of those who are waiting to claim asylum and to turn themselves in, they are not included in those numbers because they have not been apprehended yet. So, I mean, this is these numbers are just the number of agents who are there to say, okay, you're being processed. If there were more, the numbers would be a lot higher than they are.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people just running into the country.
But also all of those who are waiting to make their claim, they're not tallied in that just because the U.S. doesn't have the manpower to do it.
The New York Post had a headline today that simply said surrender, with a photo of the huge crowd massed at the border. And that's what it seems like, is that our country has surrendered our sovereignty at the border. It's anything goes. Anybody can come, and next to nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah, well, and with these camps that are being set up, or, you know, just kind of, you know, that they're developing, that these are people who want to, or at least they say that they're going to make the asylum claim. They are waiting. They're not running in, you know, like you traditionally would think of people entering illegally. They are sitting there and they're waiting. And that, you know, as I've covered the border for many years, and you'll see that you go to breaks in the fence and they will wait in a single file line and wait for a Border Patrol van to pull up and calmly get into that van, knowing that they are waiting to make that claim. And that's what these groups are doing right now. It's a longer wait than waiting in a single file line and waiting for another Border Patrol shuttle to pull up so then they can be carried away and make the asylum claim. Right now, there are days of waiting or even longer, and then they're camped out. And then when their time comes, they'll go in and they'll make their claim.
Very good, Alex. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, you got it.
Explaining all that. Alex Stone, ABC News, with the latest at the border. I've got to believe that. Well, it does look like surrender. I thought that Post headline summed it up. That's the official policy. Everybody can come in. And it seems as if the drug and human smuggling cartels, they're in charge, and they have their methods to gin up business, because all these migrants, and they're coming in from all over the world, all these migrants are... many of them are paying customers. They're paying the cartels, and the cartels are spreading the word all over social media in all these countries. And whether they're doing it with correct information or false information, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets hung up on the specific details. If we had a wall built and we had strict penalties against people who are captured by our Border Patrol, and this problem would go away. It's not that complicated. It's not hard. They'll lead you to believe it's hard. No, it's not. It's like everything else. If you just enforce the law, if you do what's obvious, this problem would stop. The cartels have immense power. This is another area where I'm starting to head to the fringe here. Why is it that the Biden administration does not want to confront the cartels and restrict their multi-billion-dollar business? Really? There's a reason here. There's a story. Nobody wants to investigate it. Maybe they don't want to get shot by the cartels. But clearly the Biden administration, and I don't include Joe as part of the administration, the Biden administration decided to surrender. And now you've got 10, 12, 14,000 a day coming over that we can count. Who knows what the real number is? And we know why they're doing it. They want to change the makeup of the country, the demographic makeup. But God, the amount of money that the cartels are making, the cartels' communication system and their transportation system is really unbelievably efficient. They're really good at spreading the word and then getting people organized and then getting them over the border. And they're making literally billions of dollars. And we're standing and watching. The public hates this. The polling is terrible. His approval rating on the border is in the 20s. But 80% of the public thinks it's a big problem and people will vote. I don't know why Biden would do this to himself. He wasn't that kind of politician for the first 50 years. And that's why I think he's asleep much of the time. And these are these radical, progressive, woke extremists that have come up with this policy. And I wonder if he even knows what's going on. Really, I do. I cannot believe that he would allow this to happen. He never showed a trace of that in the first 80 years of his life. And why this total surrender to drug cartels with all the horrible things they do and all the horrible things the drugs do to people? It's like, why would you do this? Why would you do this to people, to kids, to family? Why? What's the point of this? There's nowhere to put them. And now in New York, Eric Adams, he's shortchanging. He's has to defund the police and defund the fire department, defund the schools because there's no money. He's going to have to jack up taxes. Chicago, the same thing. And that dumbass mayor in Chicago is blaming Greg Abbott. What the hell are you talking about? If Abbott was in charge, the border would be closed. You wouldn't have tens of thousands of people storming your city. What's wrong with you? I don't know. It's like everybody's insane. Really. Only insanity could explain this. All right. More coming up. By the way, I'm going to play you a story from Channel 4. This is from the obvious desk. L.A. bus stops being overrun with homeless people. Apparently, a lot of people, you know how they're constantly preaching to take public transportation, take metro, take the buses. Well, on the metro trains, you get stabbed. To go to a bus stop, you got to fight off a large crowd of homeless people.
And there's a bus stop right by the gas station that I use, right there. So every single time that I go to pump my gas, there's always people coming up to me. They're in the bus stop area. It's covered. Yeah. And then they're constantly coming up to people.
Yeah. Can you imagine waiting for a bus for 20 minutes in that crowd? Mm-mm. How scary would that be? When was the last time you took a public bus?
I couldn't even tell you.
You don't look like a bus girl.
I'd be scared.
All right.
You're listening to John Kobelt on demand from KFI AM 640.
On from 1 to 4 after 4 o'clock. John Kobelt on demand on the iHeart app. Who's in for Conway today? I assume he's not working the rest of the week. Chris Merrill's going to be on at 4 o'clock. I'm a little bit nervous because I got lost yesterday leaving the station. In the parking garage.
20 minutes of trying to get out for you.
20 minutes because they closed the checkpoints at the main entrance. You know, they have security booths and you have to have a key card and the bar goes up and you're allowed in the parking garage. But we can't use that one for some reason. So we have to take a side entrance. And I found my parking spot, but leaving, I couldn't figure it out. This is a weird garage. Most garages have ramps that take you up and then a ramp that takes you down, right? Or one ramp where you could go both ways. This doesn't.
This garage is a complete maze.
It is a maze, and you have to go up to go down. You have to go down to go up. And I always thought that I had to go down to get to the alternate entrance. And yesterday, from 4:39... to like 5:01, I am lost in the garage here. And, I was asking people, I'd stop and ask, and people who work in the building, they go, I don't know. Nobody knew. Nobody could give me directions. One woman said, no, just go right and right and right. No, it should have been left and left and left.
Okay, so now you know what to do today. I got lost as well, although it took me about 5 minutes to figure it out. But I understand. It is very stressful. We're not used to that. And as Eric said, it's a maze.
This is the benefits of working on the street team at one time in my career. And yeah. I know this garage like the back of my hand now.
Well, you
you need to take John. You need to go down with John. Then.
You want to drive me out?
Yeah, I'll gladly drive you out.
Odd. And it turned out everybody. All right. What are the odds of this? It's 4:30. It's almost 5 o'clock. What are the odds? I follow three cars figuring I'd follow them out. All three cars were coming in to park. I kept following people to their parking spaces. It's like, what? Nobody shows up for work at 5 o'clock. What is this? There's hardly anybody working here to begin with anymore. Because we got a 6-story building and there's four levels of parking downstairs. And then, you know what? It's really scary. You go down to level 3 and 4 where it's really dark and there's no exits. And there's one lone car parked here.
I park on P3.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's who it was.
Yeah, I'm wondering, well, what's this? Is this the drug selling corner or is this?
No, I just park on P3 because that's where the promotions team keeps all of their stuff. And that's just habit for me.
Is this where people entertain their escorts? I mean, what's going on?
I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, of course not. By 5 o'clock, though, I was starting to panic because I felt like I was in a twilight zone. Like a bad dream thing.
Like the walls were caving in on you?
Going around. I was driving into cement walls. I felt like such an idiot. And so that's all I can think about now is what's it going to be like getting out?
Well, I just came and said goodbye to you because I need to be somewhere after work and I'm anticipating that I'm going to get lost again.
Well, maybe I'll find you down there.
I'll be so mad if I'm still there.
You can follow me or I can follow you.
Oh, then we're going to just spend the night here.
Yeah, just going round and round. A couple of ding-dongs. All right, I want to play this clip from Ted Chen over at NBC4. This is entertaining. They tell you to take the metro train, but of course you'll get stabbed. They tell you to take a bus in L.A., but you got to fight off the homeless people at the bus stop. Here's Ted Chen.
The mayor's office says it is approaching the homelessness crisis with unprecedented urgency, and advocates say, as you said, it is a crisis that keeps getting worse, with some people having no choice but to find shelter at bus shelters.
Oh, that's nonsense.
We need immediate triage shelter followed by innovative housing.
Union Rescue Mission CEO Andy Bale says the homeless encampments at bus shelters is part of a bigger problem that's getting worse.
It's been here the entire time that I've been at Union Rescue Mission. I've seen and checked on and prayed for people living under bus shelters for ages.
To Bales, the taking over of bus shelters are but one example of the failure to build more emergency shelters and immediate housing for the growing number of homeless in the city and the county of Los Angeles.
We're in bigger trouble than we've ever been. More people on the street than we've ever had. Everybody who wants to come in should be able to come in. They should have a right to shelter, followed by innovative, imaginative, immediate housing.
Bale says L.A. Mayor Karen Bass's Inside Safe program, moving people off the streets into hotels and motels, has helped, but he says it and similar programs have been too expensive. The mayor's office issued a statement saying, quote, the city of Los Angeles is implementing a proactive approach to urgently bring unsheltered Angelenos all over the city inside. More than 21,000 Angelenos were brought inside over the last year. There is more work to be done, and we will continue to approach this crisis with unprecedented urgency.
Metro says its priority
is the safety of its passengers.
Priority
and if a bus
safety.
Does encounter an obstacle at a bus shelter, it will stop either immediately before or after that shelter.
Oh, so the bus will stop down the block. They won't get the homeless people out from under the bus shelter. They'll just stop the bus down the road and make you walk to it. Oh, for goodness sakes. Yes, safety is your highest priority. Blah, my God. They just say the same nonsense every day over and over again because they don't care. Nobody in the city cares. Nobody at Metro cares. But you get scolded constantly while you're driving your car. You should be taking mass transit. Ugh, God. They're always trying to make you feel guilty. Yesterday we told you about the bikes. You know, the idiots drive their bikes past parked cars and then they get whacked by drivers opening their doors. Well, the drivers have to be more aware. It's like, no, the bicyclists have to go drive in a park. Get off the roads. I'm declaring war on all this stuff. Can't take it anymore. Here's another thing we'll get into coming up after after 3:30. Another impediment to our driving, speed cameras. They're officially going to be coming to Los Angeles and Glendale and Long Beach. Speed cameras. And I will remind you, during the era of the red light camera, how the local governments screwed with the red light cameras in order to illegally cost you millions of dollars. Because they're going to do it again here. You'll see. This is one of my great predictions for the next year.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on till 4 o'clock. Chris Merrill's going to be in for Conway. Later on after 4 o'clock, it's John Cobalt on demand, the podcast version. And we had a lot of good stuff on it today. Steve Gregory talking about that four-year-old getting shot to death by a road rage maniac that Gascon should have kept in prison and should put in prison for life. And we also had a constitutional law professor on to explain, try to explain how Trump could be kicked off the ballot in Colorado for insurrection when he's never been charged with insurrection, let alone convicted. And that story is going to be the entertainment over the holidays. All right, I've got stupid California government news from stupid politicians and the consequences from their actions. Gavin Newsom signed a law. Six cities in California in 2024 is going to have speed cameras. Trial basis. Los Angeles, Glendale, Long Beach down here. San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland up in the north. The cameras will issue tickets if you're going at least 11 miles an hour over the speed limit. Priority is around schools, high-injury intersections, known street racing corridors to try to reduce speeding and traffic fatalities. Ticket prices will go from 50 to 100 to 200, even 500, depends how fast you're going. First violation will be a warning in most cases. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what they did with red light cameras. And this is true. Because you remember they were all the rage for a while. And then the operators of the red light cameras and the government figured they can make more money if they tweaked the yellow light. The yellow light was supposed to be, 2 seconds. 3 seconds, whatever. They shortened the yellow light to half a second, three quarters of a second. So there was no way that you could make it through an intersection on a yellow light. If the light was green as you were entering the intersection, it would turn yellow and red before you left, which means technically you went through a red light, even though it didn't turn red until the very end. In fact, you didn't even see it go yellow. That's how fast the lights changed. And then somebody figured it out, and there was a big ruckus about it. And it turned out the company that installed the red light cameras was cheating. And, of course, the governments were thrilled to have the extra money. Anyway, the whole thing fell apart. But that's what they do, and that's what they're going to do here. They're going to tell you that you're 11 miles over the limit. Are you? Who knows, right? What do you think is going to happen? There are a bunch of greed bags. These are not being installed for safety reasons. They're being installed for money reasons. It always is. I can't stand their safety arguments. That was another thing about the red light cameras. They increased accidents. Why? Should have been obvious. You know there's a red light camera at an intersection. The thing is going red. You slam the brakes on really hard not to get the $200 ticket. You slam the brakes on hard, then it's boom behind you. Then another boom behind the next car. And suddenly you have a chain reaction accident. They had more accidents. They had more crashes after they put in those stupid red light cameras. Same thing is going to happen here. People are going to realize they're speeding. They're going to notice there's a camera. They're going to suddenly slow down dramatically. You're going to have more accidents. I saw a story. I don't have it in front of me, but I will get to it one day. They're looking at pedestrian deaths around the nation, why they're going up in certain places. Guess what one of the big reasons is? Homeless people stumbling around. There's certain times of the day where there's more people getting run over, and it correlates when homeless people are active. Yes, bums are getting run over. And then we're told, it's like, well, driving is more dangerous than ever. It's really out of control, the pedestrian fatalities. No, you're letting people live in the streets. And they're whacked out on drugs and booze, so of course they're going to get run over more. Here's another government stupidity story. When panic hit the governments over the pandemic, they started spending millions, in some cases billions of dollars, on stockpiles of masks and gloves and gowns. And, you know, remember the phrase PPE? Am I bringing back bad memories? Well, it's like when Newsom panicked and spent $1 billion on some fake Chinese company. I think it was an electric car company that was suddenly in the mask business. Well, this happened all over the place. And they ended up buying way too much of everything. And there's an expiration date on a lot of these supplies. So now, for example, Ohio auctioned off 393,000 gowns. I guess this is hospital gowns. You know how much they got for 393,000 gowns? $2,450. I don't know what the buyer is going to do with them. They also threw away 7 million. Oh, God. They threw away 7 million and they sold 393,000. And they made less than $2,500. 7 million. 29 million in federal money. All the stuff they threw out, including the masks and the gloves and other things. At least 15 states have tossed all their personal protection equipment because of expiration. 18 million masks, 22 million gowns, 500,000 gloves. Of course, more than half the states didn't even respond. They don't want to admit to it. And because Newsom and Jerry Brown before him never planned for a possible pandemic. So when it happened, it caught them by surprise. So they spent billions of dollars because it was a seller's market. And then they panicked and bought too much because they had no way of gauging how long they would need them. And so it ended up being tens of millions of dollars of waste. This went along to the U.S. government, too. They had something called the Strategic National Stockpile. Didn't have enough stuff there. So all the states plunged into global bidding wars. In 2020, states spent over $7 billion in a few months. Oh, ventilators, too. Remember that? Ohio distributed 227 million pieces of protective equipment. In Vermont, they sold 105,000 boot covers for $82. They sold safety goggles for 29 cents a piece. Wisconsin has thrown out almost 2 million masks and 1 million gowns. Just huge amounts of waste now. Of course, they were spending tax money, in many cases, federal tax money, and that's not real money, right? That used to be our money, but they took it from us. Then they spent it on panicky nonsense. More coming up. John Cobalt Show.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
One of the stupid things California governments have done is they destroyed the city of San Francisco, and we've chronicled that for years now. But here's something that hit me. The office vacancy rate in San Francisco is at about 36% right now in the fourth quarter, and it's going up. Now, before the pandemic, San Francisco had nearly 100% office occupation rate. There was almost no office space that you could rent. But then the pandemic hit, and at the same time, they let the city go to hell and let the drug addicts and the mental patients take over, and you had all these methed out homeless people storming the streets and turned it into, you know, a zombie apocalypse. And then a lot of people realized, why do I have to drive in traffic to dodge piles of human feces and needles and deal with crazy people who might kill me just to sit in a boring office? There's got to be a better life. See, it kind of broke the magic of high-tech office life in San Francisco. And so this has caused local businesses to close, restaurants to close, the whole thing. And it's a spiral downward. And companies stopped begging their employees to come in. So now you have all these empty buildings, and most people I talk to, the first thing they say is, well, why can't they turn them into apartments? You know, affordable housing. Well, it turns out you can't retrofit buildings like that easily and then have the new apartments be affordable. It's impossible. And then again, who wants to live there? Because a lot of the jobs are gone. The companies have moved out, and like I said, the retail and the restaurants have closed down, so who's going to go first? But I was reading a story about the costs of retrofitting these office buildings, and I was wondering, so we're just going to have these things, you know, like massive Stonehenge monuments into the sky, empty. I mean, a 36% vacancy rate, and that's really high. Like, L.A. is only at 15%. And New York, 17. It's still high by historic standards, those numbers. Chicago's at 23, Austin, 22, but San Francisco, and they think it's going to hit 40%. So a lot of people are, a lot of companies are just, they stop paying their rent, stop, you know, just broke their lease. The banks are going to lose a ton of money. They're going to have to write off all these buildings that they loaned money to, that they financed. And they're going to take big hits. And the city dies. They actually killed San Francisco. When I came to California, we drove up the coast. We had a few weeks before we started working. Drove up the coast, saw San Francisco for the first time with my own eyes. I'd only seen it on television back east. Whenever there'd be a sporting event, you know, they'd have a blimp or a helicopter shot or something. It's like, wow, that looks beautiful. And then I went there and I thought, wow, this is magic. Absolutely. But the politics aside, the city itself was just terrific. And now I've gone back there within the last year. It's like, oh, this is so tragic. And I mean, this has happened to Detroit, but Detroit wasn't beautiful like San Francisco. It's fascinating how people will let a beautiful city die right in front of their eyes when everybody knows what's killing it. Everybody knew that the crime was killing it and that the politicians' bad policies, this weird religious cult of progressive ideology that took over, the results were bad. They all see it happen. They saw it happen every day. Didn't make a difference. They just, still to this day, doesn't make a difference. They're not really cleaning up San Francisco. And they're not really getting the vagrants and the drug addicts off the streets. They're not cleaning up the garbage. They're just watching it rot another day. You think everybody in San Francisco would want to preserve the unique beauty that they had there, but no, they just destroyed it. Chris Merrill, what's up?
Hey, buddy. What a show, huh?
Yes, it's a show.
Very good. So I was just talking with Crozier here off the air and come to find out wet, very wet, damp, moist, soupy, all of the above. So we'll talk about how wet it's going to be. And then I've got a big question that is on the minds of so many people today. What is due process? There's some confusion about what due process is. And frankly, that confusion falls on all of us. I'm confused about it, too.
I don't think due process matters anymore.
I don't even, how do you define due process? You know, it's funny. It's not defined. So kind of a trippy little deal here.
I don't know. I think if you're going to ban somebody from the ballot over a crime, at least they have to be charged with the crime.
Wow. Maybe that's a trial court judge that heard the whole deal. It's the same judge that hears the other stuff regarding any other election challenges. So why is it if I'm running for the school board, there's a different due process for me than there is for somebody who's on the ballot for president?
I don't know.
Why is there a different due process for the sheriff than there is for the president?
We know why.
We know why.
We do know why. Chris Merrill is coming up. He's in for Conway, and he'll be on in a few minutes. John Cobelt's show, and we got Michael Crozier with the news live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobelt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.